everybody's doing well, and I hope you brought a Bible with you. If you did, I'm going to ask you to turn to two passages and just, if you got a way to mark them or stick a pencil in there or something just to mark. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 and also in Colossians chapter 3. And this morning, I actually want to talk about singing. And the reason why I want to talk about singing is that I feel like over the past couple of years, or maybe even the past decade, if you will, several years, that I've noticed some things as, you know, as I've had an opportunity to preach at a lot of different churches over the last decade or so, that I've made some observations about singing. One is I don't think we sing as loud as we used to. Now, maybe that's just, you know, we always kind of think things were better in the past than we do now. But I really don't think we sing as loud as we used to sing. You know, I remember as a kid up through my teenage years, I grew up in Lebanon. I went to the Maple Hill congregation in Lebanon. And we had a building at the time that had great acoustics. And I remember times when, again, even through my teenage years, when we would sing a song like "It Is Well With My Soul," and it would be so loud and have so much emotion that I would feel tingles in my spine. I'd feel the hairs raising on the back of my neck. And I would feel, you know, as a kid, I would feel like, hey, the roof's about to fly off this place because it's just so intense how loud it is. And I just don't remember having those feelings anymore. You know, I don't have those feelings when I visit other congregations. I definitely don't at my home congregation at Bellevue. I mean, I just don't have those moments. And so I begin to ask myself, you know, why is that? Why do we not sing as loud as we used to? The other thing I notice, again, going from congregation to congregation, and I'm not talking about here because, as you guys know, I'm not here very often. But I see in a lot of places there are always pockets of people that just don't sing at all. And again, I wonder, why is that? I mean, why are we here if we're not singing? You know, if we're not participating in worship, why are we not here? And I wrote down just some thoughts, you know, related to that. You know, why, with the question of why don't we sing as loud as we used to, or why do some people, you know, some of us not sing at all? Why is that? Maybe we don't believe as strongly as we used to. You know, there's a lot in songs about what we believe and believing in God, and maybe we don't believe as strongly as we used to. Maybe we don't feel as thankful as we used to. There's a lot of songs about thanksgiving and being thankful to God. Maybe we don't feel that as strongly as we used to. Maybe we don't have the reverence that we used to have for God. I think reverence is one thing that I have seen decline in my lifetime, a reverence for God, a true awe, being in awe of who God is. Maybe we're not as filled with the Word of God as we used to be. It seems like, you know, hand in hand with our singing not being as loud as it used to be, that there's just not as much dedication to studying the Word of God as there was when I was younger. And again, maybe that's just looking rose-colored glasses towards the past, but I feel like you're not into the Word as much as we used to be. Not allowing God's Spirit to fill our lives like we used to. But what about this one? Embarrassed about how we sing. Are we more conscious of what we sound like? If you've never sat around me, you may think, well, he's doing a sermon on singing. He must be an incredible singer. Well, as we used to say growing up, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't have a musical bone in my body. I remember, and by the way, I'm always embarrassed by the way I sing. And I know that I think about that when I'm singing. And I, you know, can people hear how terrible I am? I remember when I was a student in college, I went to Lipscomb University in Nashville. And at some point during the time I was there, we went from having one big chapel to a lot of little chapels. I don't remember why we did that, but we went to having a lot of little chapels, and we met in classrooms. And we were in this classroom and had the old school desks, and we were all sitting in rows. And there was a guy sitting behind me who I actually went to high school with. He was a year younger than me, who was in everything musical. You know, he was in chorus. He was always in musicals that the school would have. He was a musician outside of school and had an incredible voice. And I was sitting in front of him, and there was a girl sitting in front of me. And I remember, you know, he was singing, and I thought, he sounds great. I'm just going to kind of mumble, and that way no one will be able to hear me because he's incredible. And so we went through the chapel, and then when the chapel was over, the girl that was sitting in front of me, she stood up and she turned around. She said, "I just want to tell you that you have an incredible singing voice." And I know what I should have said. But what I actually said was, "Thank you very much. But I can't sing. I can't sing." So I understand if we're embarrassed by you know, those of us that are like me that do not sing well. I understand that we can be embarrassed by how we sing. But this morning, I want to look at what the Bible has to say about singing. And I want to think about this question, and that is just simply, why should we sing? Why should we sing? And I'm going to go through six reasons why. You may go, "Oh my goodness, we've only got 30 minutes left. How are you going to get through 6 points?" Well, we're going to get through them, okay? And we're going to get through them in time. But if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write these down, because we're going to go through these quickly, and you may have a chance later to go back and look at some of these passages. Our home base is going to be Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, but I'm going to look at a lot of different scriptures. And don't feel the pressure to turn along to all of these, because I'm going to go through them quickly. But maybe just jot down what the verses are, and you can go back and look at them when you've got time. So, the question, why should we sing? The first thing, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, write down the word duty. Okay, and this is the simplest one, I think. We are commanded to sing. It's our duty. We are commanded to sing. It's not an optional thing in Scripture. You know, we can debate a lot about what should or should not be a part of our worship services, but it's hard to debate in Scripture whether or not we have been commanded to sing. And we're going to get to Ephesians and Colossians, but just listen. I could quote probably hundreds of verses from the Psalms about singing. And I'll quote a few this morning, but listen to just three briefly. From the ninth psalm, "Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds." That's Psalm 9 and verse 11. The 100th psalm, one of the most famous psalms, the first two verses. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." The 149th Psalm, verse 1, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly." So throughout the Psalms, there are instructions for God's people to sing. And it makes sense because the Psalms it was their songbook. And so there are, it's filled with commands, instructions to sing. Now, if you've got those two passages open, though, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to start reading in verse 18. This is, most of us know, a letter written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. And this comes right before a long section, where Paul's going to talk about submitting to one another. But before he gets to that, he says this in verse 18. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul tells the church in Ephesus to sing, address each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Again, if you've got Colossians chapter 3 open, we're going to look at a bigger section, but I just want to look at one verse right now, and that's verse 16. Colossians, in many ways, parallels what's in the letter to the Ephesians. So much of the content of Colossians is also in Ephesians and vice versa. But in verse 16, he says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So, to summarize that, God's people, it's more than that we have been invited to sing. We have been instructed to sing. We see that in the Old Testament. We see that in the New Testament, that we have been given specific instructions to sing. So number one, it is our duty. We are commanded to sing. Number two, if you're writing this down, write down the word debt. Debt. It is our debt. We owe God thanks and praise. More than just we have been commanded to do this, we've been instructed to do this. You think about what God has done for us, that He has taken us from a place of certain eternal spiritual death, and He has rescued us through the sacrifice of His Son, through the sacrifice of Himself. He has rescued us, and He has provided, it's not just a means of rescue, it is the only means of rescue from that certain death. And because we have been rescued from certain death, what do we owe Him? We owe Him everything. And part of that includes we owe Him as much praise as we can offer. We owe Him as much thanksgiving as we can offer for what He has done. A few more passages, just listen to these. So 2 Samuel 22, verse 50, and Psalm 18, verse 49, both say exactly the same thing. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Psalm 21, verse 13, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Psalm 57, verse 9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 5, sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. So again, you see the consistency in the Old Testament talking about offering praises to God through song, through singing. Now, back to Colossians, again, where Paul has instructed to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Go with me back to that passage, but let's go back one verse. We did verse 16 last time. Let's look at verse 15. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And what are the next two words? With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Why do we sing? We sing because we owe a debt of praise and thanksgiving to God for what He has done for us. We owe Him everything. It is a debt. Number three, again, if you're taking notes, write down the word dwell. The word dwell. Why do we sing? Why should we sing? We are filled with the Word of God and His Holy Spirit. If we are filled with the Word of God and we are filled with His Holy Spirit, that is going to be evident in the way we sing. It's a sign. Singing is a sign that we have chosen to fill our lives with the Word of God and with His Holy Spirit rather than other things in this life. Go with me back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, again in verse 18. He says, I'm going to start in the middle of verse 18, where he says, he initially said, don't be filled with these other things like wine. Don't be filled with those things, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. One of the outcomes of being filled with God's Spirit is that we are going to offer up praise to God through song. If we are filled with God's Spirit, we are going to have a desire to praise God with our lips. And moving again back to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, he talks about letting the Word of God dwell in you. And when he talks about that, he he tells us how to, or he tells the Colossians, and ultimately us, how to live out that instruction, to let the Word of God dwell in us. And he says in verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, well, what does that mean? What do we do with that? Well, first he says to teach and admonish one another. Okay, well, that makes sense, right? We're filled with the Word of God. If we're filled with the Word of God, we should use that to teach others, right? To teach and admonish each other. But what else do we do when we're filled with the Word of God? He says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because so many of the songs that we sing are either directly taken from Scripture or they're based on the themes of Scripture. Not even so many. They're all based on either being directly taken from Scripture or on themes from Scripture. And so one of the ways that we are involved in the Word of God is by taking the concepts of the Word of God and offering those through our lips. Singing is more than just the warm-up for the sermon. I mean, singing is a vital part of being a part of God's Word, of letting God's Word dwell in us and come out and be shown to the world. You know, singing stands alongside teaching as one of the great ways that we allow the Word of God to dwell within us. So the number three reason is to dwell because we are filled with the Word of God and His Holy Spirit. The fourth thing, write down the word disciples. Disciples. With the idea that when you sing, you build others up. When you sing, you build others up. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice that when he talks about singing, how does he describe it? Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, addressing one another. So he's talking about singing to each other. We are singing to each other. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, it goes even further than this. The instruction to sing comes in the middle of a number of instructions that talk about how we deal with our brothers and sisters. Look in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 3. He says, let's go back to verse 12. But I want you to notice a few things that he mentions here in talking about how we deal with each other. He says, verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Verse 13, he says this, bearing with one another. That talks about how we relate to each other, right? Bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, this is the second thing he talks about how we deal with each other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these things, here's the third way we deal with each other. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And verse 15, and here's the fourth way we deal with each other, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. We just talked about that one. That definitely deals with how we interact with each other. We teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And then right on the heels of all of these instructions about how we deal with each other as a body, to bear with each other, forgive each other, to love each other, to be at peace with each other, he says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. When we sing together as a church family, we are hearing the confessions of faith of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, we are all singing together in one voice with one message coming from the Word of God. And we're confirming to each other that we believe what we are singing. And so we are building each other up when we sing. We are strengthening the body of Christ. We are demonstrating our faith to each other. And so that is why Paul says, hey, when you sing, address one another. The fifth thing, durability. Durability. We are spiritually strengthened for trial when we sing. Now, this one may be the most unusual one in the list, because we tend to think of singing as something we do when we're what? When we're happy, right? When things are going well. When we feel thankful. We feel like we want to praise God. We feel like things are going well. But what does Scripture tell us about singing when things are not going well? That when I think about this concept, the thing that always jumps out at me, the story that always jumps out at me, is from Acts chapter 16. When Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's on his second missionary journey with Silas, and he's in the city of Philippi. And most of us know what happened in Philippi is that through a number of circumstances, Paul and Silas end up in prison. And if you look at the way the prison is described, there were, without getting into a ton of historical detail, the prisons of that time would have effectively had three different areas. And Paul and Silas were in the innermost part of the prison, which would be the equivalent today of our death row. I mean, they were on death row. They were in an area that would have had no light, no visibility to the outside world. They were in stocks. They were bound. And what is the first thing they do? Listen to what it says. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So they're in one of the worst possible situations that mankind could imagine other than death, right? I mean, they are in the worst prison situation you can be in. And what is their first reaction? They sing. They sing. And I think that is a great example for how, you know, singing can strengthen us in the midst of trial, or strengthen us to prepare us for trial. Because when we sing praises to God, thanksgiving to God, we're singing songs that come from the Word of God, either directly or they're based on themes from the Word of God. And in effect, we're not only telling everybody else that we believe in God, we're reminding ourselves of what incredible things He has done for us. And how, at the end, we're going to be rescued. No matter what happens in this life, we're on the winning team. And we're reminding ourselves of that. And you see what Paul and Silas do that is so contrary to human instinct. I mean, how would any of us react in a similar situation? I'd be screaming out about how it's not fair. God, this is not just. It's not fair. Why did you do this to me? And what do? They're singing praises to God. And it says the other prisoners heard them. Durability. We are spiritually strengthened for trial. All right, number six. The last one. You go, whew, we got there. We got number six. Number six is the word delight. And maybe this is the obvious one. So we went from the least obvious one to the obvious one, delight. We travel a God-designed pathway to joy when we sing. And ultimately, I'll tell you what I mean by that there is a definite link between singing and joy, singing and delight. And just to kind of go back before we do that, I just want to mention this. I think this concept of the concept of joy is so important, especially today. Because when I look out in the world today, I don't see a lot of joy. I see a lot of people fighting with each other. I see a lot of people that are just angry. I wrote these, you know, I see, here, what are the emotions that I see? I see anger, I see hate. I see malice. I see complaining. I don't see a lot of joy. You know, and I see, you know, like on social media, and I don't know how many of you are involved in social media, Facebook and Twitter and, you know, Instagram and all these things, and they're so filled with folks that are just angry, and they're fighting with each other. And I gave up Facebook over a year ago because I found myself, every time I was on it, I'd get angry because other people are angry and they're complaining and they're upset. And I thought, well, why am I doing this to myself, making myself angry? Why am I doing this? And what we need is joy. We need to be joyful because we have been given so much. We have been blessed in so many ways because we have a Savior that has rescued us from certain death. And so again, thinking about this link between singing and joy, you know, how do we turn our focus to joy? And one of the ways that God prescribes for us to do that is through singing. The fifth psalm, verse 11, "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." Psalm 63, verse 7, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." Psalm 95, verse 1, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Moving to the New Testament, the best passage I can think of that kind of ties the idea of singing with joy comes in the book of James. The book of James, or the letter that James wrote, which is such a practical letter that deals with, you know, things that we face in day-to-day life. And he just says this very simply, where James says, he talks about suffering. Is anybody suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? What does he say? Let him sing songs. There is a link between singing and joy. And when you read through Scripture and this link between singing and joy, and this ties in with the last point about durability, about singing prepares us for trial. Sometimes you see examples of where singing gives birth to joy. And sometimes you see examples where joy gives birth to singing. But either way, they're tied together. And we need to be more joyful. And I wrote this note down. If you struggle for joy, sing. If you're joyful, sing. Either way, what should we be doing? We should be singing. We should be singing to God. In God's perfect design, He has instructed us to sing. And singing and joy are tied together. So those are, again, we could talk about a number of other reasons why we should sing, but all this to say that this is something that God's people should be about. You know, maybe we don't talk a lot about it. Maybe we don't have a lot of lessons or sermons about singing. But it's something that should be an integral part, not just of our corporate worship, but of our lives, is acknowledging and praising and thanking God with our mouth, with our singing. And so this morning, the biggest encouragement I can give, we're at the time of the year where a lot of us set New Year's resolutions, right? Why not make a resolution for 2019 that, hey, I'm going to sing more enthusiastically. I'm going to think more about what I'm singing, why I'm singing, about the words that are coming out of my mouth. I'm going to focus more on those things. And I bet if we all did that, we would all be, you know, we would benefit from that. We would benefit each other. We would benefit ourselves. And so if there's one takeaway from this, I hope that it's an encouragement to be more deliberate, put more emphasis on what we do with our singing. If you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, then we talked about that one of the reasons why we sing is because we owe God this incredible debt. Well, if we've never turned our lives over to Christ, then where we stand is in a place of falling short. And if you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, then Jesus is there ready to rescue you from that place of certain death. He's ready to save you, to offer you the hope, the confidence of eternal life. And if you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment, no matter where you are, if you're just beginning to think about those things, then myself, or I'm sure many others, would love to study with you. Or if you know what you need to do and you just haven't done it, then we would love to help you, to baptize you into Jesus Christ, to raise you out of the water as a new creature to walk with God, to be a part of His body, if there's anything we can do for you, will you please come while we sing our invitation song?
Would